الله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat. Before we begin the talk, I received this note that they mentioned a mu'mina, a sister, has been recently laid off to make a dua for her. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, that He helps all the believers that are under hardship and difficulty, especially this mu'mina, and provide the finances, inshallah, by the barakah of a salawat on Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. It reminds me of an important reminder for all of us, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a community that the community members pray for one another. Okay. If you remember each other in your prayers, remember one another. You've all heard the story. I don't want to mention the sad part, but when the lady Fatima to Zahra salamullah alayha prayed to Allah, she prayed for her neighbors and for others in that community first. Okay. So when we're praying, let's remember each other. Okay. Let's remember one another. Pray for those who are in difficulties and they're under hardship. It's very important that we do that. Inshallah, recite another salawat. We were talking about parents, but I need to give a couple of reminders because they are the foundations. Remember, we always have these principles, foundations based on which other practical teachings are founded upon. And we shouldn't forget that there is a foundation there. We shouldn't forget the main principle there. If we lose that and we don't take the foundation, we take that practical advice only, that sometimes becomes the goal and we go overboard with it. All right? One example I will mention, just to make this clear, it's a very important fundamental point. Sometimes, for instance, when we want to work towards spirituality, we hear it's very important, they say, to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And it is very important. Especially in the middle of the night, it's very important to try to wake up before dawn, before fajr, and try to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has magnificent effects on the soul. All right. Now, we hear that. That's very important. We need to do that. Okay? That requires me to go to bed early, for instance. I need to make sure I get to bed early. But then there's something else there, and that is, for instance, I have a baby in the house. I have a child that's in the house. And I need to take care of them as well. There's a mother and I am the father, for instance, or vice versa. And I need to take care of this child. Sometimes the child is, you know, whining and crying. There's some issue, especially newborn. They're not going to bed early. And I'm thinking of the night prayer, for instance. Or something else, some activity that's related to the family members. I have this idea on my mind of praying and I need to get to bed early. it causes me to say something inappropriate to the child or to my wife or to my husband or to my mother or to my father. Okay. Why did I do that? Because I was focusing on the night prayer and I missed the main foundation for it. I was supposed to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The goal wasn't to perform that prayer. The goal was to worship God. God says, you're not allowed to say that. You're not allowed to mistreat. You're not allowed to lay a hand on that child. You're not allowed to shout, okay, at them. Okay? In order to get to that prayer, I did this. Lost the plot. You can pray for 40, 50 days. Night prayer is not going to have the effect anymore. It won't. Because the goal was something else. The goals were was the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we put that foundation at the beginning. We spent a few sessions. Everything in our lives is about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. What He wants. We're trying to serve Him to reach the goal of our creation. The perfection. The rewards that He's talked about. Which the most profound of it is He Himself. God Himself. Nothing is as enjoyable as enjoying the presence of God. Nothing. And we talked about the verses and the ahadith. Okay. Now, in order to do that, God says the path is obedience. أَطِيعُ اللَّهُ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولُ. Obedience. Okay. You can't be disobedient to God and love Him. You can't have that disobedience and be loving of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to have that. Based on obedience and that ibadah, becoming the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we said that one of the areas was worship, praying, and the good in that. But then we moved, there's a servitude to Allah in our relationship with one another, with people. And the first were the parents. Okay, we have a lot of emphasis in all religions. God has taught people, you need to be very careful of your parents. You need to give them good treatment. So we were talking about that. We mentioned a hadith that I only was able to read the first part of it and we didn't get through it. I'll recap very briefly. Imam As-Sadiq Salamullah alayh was asked by one of his companions, Abu Wallad Al-Hannat, about a particular verse in the Holy Quran in which God says, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Be kind to your parents. He asked, what is this ihsan? What is meant by kindness? The Imam said, أَن تُحْسِنَ صُحْبَتَهُمَا. Try to accompany them in a kind way, in a good way. Let them enjoy your company. Okay. And we spent, I think, enough time. Not enough time, as much as our time allows. We can talk about that for hours. We should be discussing it and trying to mention examples. Very, very important. Try to spend time with the parents and try to make that time something that they enjoy. Right? You're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next thing is, he says, وَأَلَّا تُكَلِّفَهُمَا أَن يَسْأَلَاكَ شَيْئًا مِمَّا يَحْتَاجَانِ إِلَيْهِ وَإِن كَانَ مُسْتَغْنِينَ. Don't make them come and ask you for something that they need. Okay? Even if they're wealthy, they may need something. Okay? They may need something. This is how a believer should be. Try to recognize, try to identify what the parents would like. Before they ask you, don't make them ask you. Go and do it. Okay? And this is what we were referring to at the end of the previous session, that sometimes parents, and I forgot to mention this as well, all the examples were revolving around, you know, a guy, a man, a person with their father. A lot of times we see issues between sisters and their mothers, okay? In other words, daughters and mothers. That's the same way. You've got to be very, very careful. You got to try to enjoy, make that time enjoyable for your mom, okay? They like to spend time with you. Some of what they do is just to have you so they can see you and spend time with you. You got to try to make that happen. All right. It's very important. And the Imam ends this part by saying, أَلَيْسَ يَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Very important verse. I won't get to the interpretation of that verse. That we're supposed to be giving. We're not going to reach righteousness unless we are willing to give what we actually like. Right? Not some used piece of clothing that I go and give that to someone and, you know, okay, I gave charity. Something that I don't like. Sometimes people give gifts. You can know, you know, this is definitely not something that they would keep for themselves. Alright, it's not bad. Okay, that's a gift as well. But, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ. Righteousness is not that. What you like, at times, even as the Ahlul Bayt were, what you yourself need, but you can give it away. You can give it away. That famous story of the Ahlul Bayt fasting for 3 days, and their only food, that piece of bread, they gave away. عَلَى حُبِّهِ. The hub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Next, the Imam says, وَأَمَّا قَوْلُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ. Another verse of the Holy Quran, which is very important. When parents grow a little older and they're around, how we treat them, it becomes even more important. It says that at that time, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Okay, what is أُفْ? The way they explain it is the following. You know, sometimes you're told to do something, and, well, maybe a guest just came over your house. You want them to tell you, like, can you please do this? Can you please bring me this? You ask them, you know, can I get you a glass of water or something? You provide that for them. Sometimes, though, you know, they ask you for a few things and a couple more things. You know, all right, I can try to get that. But sometimes you're like busy, you want to do something, your mind is on something, and then someone keeps making requests, and you start to get really frustrated with that, all right? And at times, even if you don't speak out and say, you know, you don't like that, when you just hear that, you just, you know, pause for a second there and like, you know, here we go again, or I need to do this, or why again? Just making a face, making the smallest sound, making an impression that you didn't like that. Okay. Even though you go and do it, right? But you showed with your facial expression, or in words, something, the smallest word or letter that can be uttered, that you didn't like it. That's what it's talking about. Don't treat your parents like that. But the imams, he says, وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. He recited that verse, then he says, قَال. Recite the salawat, please. He says, إِنْ أَغْجَرَاكَ فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ. If they disturb you, you're bothered, you're frustrated, the way they're telling you to do something or treat someone or whatever, and you can't do it, for instance, or sometimes you're not supposed to do it, we'll get to that. But their treatment is just getting really, really agitating and frustrating. It says, don't say often. Try to keep that inside. Do not display that at all. It's very tough, by the way. It's easier said than done, for sure. But it's something that when we set the ideals and say, okay, this is what we are moving towards, we gradually make our way there. Okay, it's not going to happen overnight, but we should know this is the right way to do it. Then he says, وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا إِنْ ضَرَبَاكَ. If they hit you even, even at an older age, like 40 or whatever, you know, it's my father and my mother, they got really this. I'll talk about why this may happen, but They not only got onto me and they shouted or whatever, now they're hitting on me. Okay. It says, لَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. Don't push them back. Don't, again, mistreat them. Don't say something that is disturbing to them. Then he recited this verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Say kind words to them. His interpretation, the Imam's explanation, he says, قَالْ إِنْ ذَرَبَاكَ فَقُلْ لَهُمَا غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمَا. If they hit you, the words that you say, instead of using, God forbid, any foul language, saying any words that are inappropriate, even raising one's voice, instead of all of that, say, غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمَا. God forgive you, inshallah. Because what they're doing isn't right. They shouldn't be beating. Okay, they shouldn't be hitting on the child. That's something we're going to talk about a bit. But your role in this, how you're going to treat them, is don't shout. You may want to prevent, if it's hurting especially, you know, you might want to prevent that from happening. But obviously not hitting them back, not by shouting or any of that. Say these words, قُلْ لَهُمَا غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمَا. Then he recites another verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. Another verse. That put down your, if I may literally translate that, جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ, the wings out of ذُلْ, out of putting oneself down, مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ, out of kindness and mercy. It says, what does this mean practically? Could you tell us? The Imam says, لَا تَمْلَأْ عَيْنَيْكَ مِنَ النَّظَرِ إِلَيْهِمَا إِلَّا بِرَحْمَةٍ وَرِقَّةٍ. Even when you look at them, you know, sometimes you can just have a plain look on your face. Okay. Sometimes I'm personally accused, then my face, my facial expressions, even when I think that I'm not really looking angry or any of that, people tell me that you got an angry face. I was sitting in maybe one of the brothers is here from that session. We're in San Antonio, and there's another good friend of ours, Sheikh Jafar. May Allah give him a long life and protect him, give him the blessing to bless the community, inshallah. He was giving the talk, and I was sitting beside him. I was facing the crowd. And, well, I'm not lecturing, right? So I'm just thinking, and it's, you know, looking at the audience, looking down, just. And then I received a text message from one of the brothers. He said, smiling is a charity. So I'm sometimes accused of that. Some people, when they have a plain face on, then it looks maybe as if that they're a bit angry or whatever. If you see me like that, I'm not, believe me. Sometimes people tell me, you look tired or whatever. I don't feel it, at least. I don't know, maybe my face looks it. Sometimes we have a plain face. Sometimes we have, you know, we're looking at a person in an angry face, okay, with just the look that we're having towards them is one that, you know, we have our eyebrows, you know, just looking at them in a way that's not pleasant. And sometimes we have a facial impression that shows kindness and mercy. We can, you know, have a smile on, or at least, if we don't have a smile on, the way we look is one that when they see us, when the parents, when the mother, the father sees us, they're able to look at that and see that and feel that we are enjoying their presence. Because that's another thing. People realize, at least some people realize when the other party is not enjoying the presence. Okay, is not liking to be in this conversation. Some people don't, for some reason. I don't know how they're not able to, I don't know, understand. I'm sitting there, I'm trying to make a facial impression as well, and the person just keeps going on and on and on and on, and they don't feel like they, you know, they need to cut this off. But sometimes people do understand that. A lot of times people do. Okay, especially if the person is an important person in their life. Okay, so When the parents are looking at us, they should feel that we like to be there. We enjoy their company. All right. So the Imam says, look at them. Your looks, even the way you look at them, the way your facial impression is. You got to make sure you're smiling. You have a kind look on your face. Okay. This was one hadith out of many, many hadith that we have in regards to kindness towards the parents. All right. And it's something that we've got to learn. Now, I don't have too much time. There's a number of points that I'm going to need to make. I hope you bear with me. This is not the only dimension. Another fundamental, one of those fundamental points is very, very important. When we talk about instructions in Islam, how to live our lives, how to do something, how to treat someone especially, all right? When it comes to where there are two people involved, at least, and then a certain person is told, or we receive certain instructions in regards to that, one party is supposed to be behaving a certain way towards the other party, okay? We understand that? A lot of times what happens, unfortunately, is that when we hear those instructions, instead of me looking at what side of that relationship I am in and what my responsibility is and what my instructions are, what I'm supposed to be doing to the other party, I read the instructions for the other party and what they're supposed to be doing towards me. Okay. And I keep reminding myself of that. And this person is supposed to be doing this or that to me. Okay. And this is where it gets problematic. Okay. For instance, the brothers really, really like to hear it when the speakers talk about the responsibilities of the wife in the house. Okay, and the recommendations. This is what she needs to do. This is what the Imam said. The Holy Prophet said, a good wife is such and such. We talk about that hadith or that saying about the Lady Fatima al-Zahra asking for forgiveness from Amir al-Mu'mineen, her husband. We use all of this and guys feel, yeah, you know, I can go, I have ammunition now. Okay. I go home. Did you listen to Mawlana tonight? Okay. This is how you need to be. Whereas that's not, we're talking about how it is good for a woman to carry herself in public or in the house with her parents or with her in-laws or with her husband or whatever. That is a set of instructions for that sister. Not the ones that are supposed to be receiving that to them, for them to go and tell, oh, you're supposed to be like this to me. You're supposed... All right, so when we talk about the ahadith and the verses that mention, this is how we need to be interacting with our parents, we've got to look at that as who? As the children. As a child, all of us... we're not Jesus, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, that was born without a father. And we're not Adam, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, that was born without parents. All of us have parents. Okay. As a child, I need to look at that. What's my relationship with my parents? If they're alive, am I treating them the way I'm supposed to be treating them or not? If they've passed away, as we said, we mentioned very importantly, sometimes, if God forbid, in their lifetime, we mistreated them, we didn't give them the right treatment, we said things that were inappropriate, we left them when they needed us, and all kinds of other stuff. Unfortunately, now we realize we were very wrong. Well, as long as you're in this world, it's still not too late. You can still make up for it. They need your help in the hereafter. They need your help in barzakh. You can do a'mal, you can seek forgiveness for them. Of course, asking them and asking God for forgiveness for what you've done. But on top of that, there are certain blessings that you can provide for them. They can't do that for themselves because they're cut off from the world. But you can do that for them. Okay. And believe me, khayrat, charity is a lot better than giving them a house or any of that. Okay. If you would have given that in this world, that would have been something. But now you're providing them with things that they really, really need. If you give charity as raddul madhalim, for example, for them, if God forbid they had oppressed anyone, done wrong to others, this charity, raddul madhalim, can clear that up a bit. And if there's any punishments that they're facing, they can be removed of that, inshallah. Okay? And if you're the cause of that, it allows their hearts to be pleased with you. And that's it. You got it. They weren't pleased with you in this world, but now you please them while they're in barzakh. Okay? So we need to look at these instructions as children. Not, it's wrong for me as a parent, I got two children myself, as a parent to go and tell my daughter, this is how you need to speak to me. Okay? This is how you need to be interacting with me. When I tell you something, God has told you to listen to me. Okay, and raise my voice on her. This is not what I'm supposed to do. I got to show, I'm that. Then I have to look at the instruction. What am I supposed to do as a father? Not as a child. What am I supposed to do as a mother now? Okay, that's what I have to look at. It's okay if I see my child, for instance, mistreating her mother, my daughter mistreating her mother, for instance, that I tell her, you know, that's not proper behavior. You shouldn't be treating your mother like that. You're not allowed to. I may even get on to her and say, you need to go in your room. But not when they're treating me like that, because I have another responsibility when I'm being mistreated like that as a father or as a mother. Okay? So the principle that we're trying to give, everybody's got to look at things as their responsibilities, not what others are supposed to do towards them. Okay. Now, having said that, in the relationship with one's parents, I would like to say the first comment is, parents, if you like to be treated well by your children, all right, you really don't want to keep reminding them of that. Don't remind them directly yourself. It's counterproductive. It does not help. As I said, if you want to teach them, when you see them mistreating your wife or your husband, the other parent, then speak to them. But when they're treating you or they're talking to you, then don't keep reminding them of that. It's counterproductive. It doesn't allow them to enjoy listening to you, enjoy that relationship that brings everybody together. Even if they tell you and give you what they want, it's not really through good feelings and wanting to do that. That's one thing. The other thing that parents and children need to know is that none of the verses of the Holy Quran, none of the ahadith are telling us as children that we have got to be obedient to our parents, okay? Get this straight. We're not trying to encourage anybody to go against their parents' words. That's not what we're saying. First principle, because there's going to be follow-ups, okay? Don't take something out of context, please. A lot of times it happens. First thing that we're trying to say is, after all the talks about kindness, which is plenty of ahadith and verses on that, and that's why we spent so much time on it. I think we spent almost two sessions, half of Friday night or Friday evening, and then Saturday, and then today. But now we're saying, okay, let's get this straight. For parents not to raise their expectations beyond what God has given responsibility to children, and also for children to know how far they are obligated to respond to certain things. We don't have the responsibility of obeying our parents. Okay? We don't have that. The only time that obedience to parents is talked about in the Holy Quran is where it tells us don't obey your parents. And that's in the context of where the parents want us to do what is wrong, what is against God's will. Al-ayadu billah. If my parents don't want me to wear hijab, for instance, God forbid. If my parents want to force me to have haram music in my wedding, for instance. If my parents want me to wear makeup in my wedding and there's non-mahram there, for instance, and other things that are haram, that we're not allowed to do. The Holy Quran says, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا, do not obey them. And this is where we go back to the fundamental point. Look, my respect of the parents is because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not respecting my parents just because of them, I'm respecting them because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, when they tell me something to do that's against God's will, I have no right to follow through with that. Alright? That's one thing. One example of where obedience is talked about, and the verses actually don't be obedient. But it's not such that unless it's haram, then you have to follow it. Again, that's still not there. There's a lot of issues that happen between families, especially when our children grow up and they want to make serious decisions in life. After they get married, for instance, or when they want to choose their career, when they want to choose what field to study in, there are certain issues that come up and develop over there. We need to know as parents that the children don't have the responsibility of obeying us. God hasn't told them to obey us. What has God said in regards to the children? There's a few things. There's 4 points in our relationship with our parents. One, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a set of instructions. We're not allowed to go against them under any circumstance. Okay. No matter who tells us, we can't go against them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an intellect. We should remember as parents, and all the youth as well, they will be parents too. Look, our children have an intellect as well. And God has given them that. And God expects them to make decisions. So we are supposed to use that intellect and see what's right and wrong for us to do. On top of the wajib and haram. I've got to use my intellect. Is this the right time? Am I responsible enough for marriage or not? I have to use that intellect. Should I go into this area, this field, these studies or the other? Maybe my parents would like one thing, but then I'm thinking of who I am, the talents that I have, the abilities that I have. I'm supposed to look at that and make a decision. It doesn't mean throw away what others say, including parents, but no, I'm supposed to use that. Part of what I use is the advice of the parents. But that doesn't mean that whatever they say, I'm going to be applying. It's the intellect that God has given us, and He's told us to make decisions based on this. These are 2 elements. Third element, God has said, when it comes to your parents, you've got to have respect, number one, and do not disrespect them. Kindness and respect. All right. The combination of these means that one is supposed to look into their affairs, come up with a decision. Even if my father or mother is not okay with it, as long as I'm not doing this against them, I've really looked into it, I've heard them out, I hear their reasoning, but I'm just not made to be a doctor. Okay, I just can't study that. Right? It's not the best thing for me. I can't be an engineer. Right? There's other things that are more important. For instance, this is just an example. Maybe law is something that I need to get into. Maybe there's some other area. But I make that decision based on wisdom, the intellect that God has given me. But in moving forward, I have to make sure, if I am making this decision, my parents don't like it, the way I deal with them, the way I speak to them, the way when they speak to me about that issue, got to be very, very careful. I'm not allowed to raise the tone of my voice when I want to convince them that this is what I'm going to do. Even if, as the hadith we read, even if, and I like to take your attention on that hadith, the Imam said, in dharabak, why would a sane person start beating on somebody else? I mean, God forbid, it's not referring to insane parents. A sane parent that maybe doesn't have full control. Sometimes, you know, they get really angry and they start beating on their child. Because the child is doing something that they didn't like, all right? The imam doesn't tell the child, didn't in that hadith give the instruction that go ahead, do exactly what your parents said. No, instead, you take that beating and you just say, ghafarallahu lakuma. And there's a point in that as well. Ghafarallahu lakuma means you're asking for their forgiveness. So that means what they're doing isn't actually right. But your role as a child is that you ask forgiveness for them. You don't disrespect them. So this is what we have as instructions in regards to decision making as children. Recite a salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. A second one. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. I'm debating with myself because there's a list of other things that I have written here and I wanted to move on tomorrow to another subject. But tonight marks the anniversary of the wafat of the Lady Khadija, so we don't have much time. So I'll basically wrap up with the issue of the children. The children towards the parents. We have the instructions that I mentioned. We don't have obedience, but we have kindness. No matter what the situation is, keeping up those ties. Not allowing their treatment, even if it's wrong for them to do, which is something we'll discuss tomorrow night as parents, what our responsibilities towards children are, how our behavior should be, and so on and so forth. But even if what they're doing is wrong, we should not allow that to cause us to move away. We shouldn't allow it to cause us to mistreat and so on and so forth. And I want to end this topic of the kindness after mentioning that very fundamental point that although, one, we don't have to obey, and sometimes we're not even supposed to obey, we are supposed to do something that the parents are insisting on us to do. These are the instructions of the Ahlul Bayt. There's a hadith if people have questions on that. At the very same time, that still means we have got to be extra kind and respectful to our parents. I want to end this portion of it with a very, very important and significant story. Remember, we're talking about, we had set some very high standards to try to acquire in this month of Ramadan. Inshallah. I hope we haven't forgotten that. I hope we keep reminding ourselves that we move in that direction. We try to make use of every minute of it. I'm trying to remind myself because it's very easy to forget and get busy with other things. So there's some very lofty goals that we're trying to move towards. All of these, the treatment of our parents and others, all fit into that bigger picture. Now, the effect on spirituality of treating the parents good is extremely profound. All right. It's almost, maybe I can say, incomparable. A lot of times we want to do things, we're looking for spirituality, we want to feel that way, we want prayers, we want different things, and we're not getting it. Okay. The ulama say, one of the things before I mention the story, they say, look, recite salawat, for instance, or surahs, for instance, and donate them to your parents and your grandparents and all your ancestors and forefathers, all of them. Okay, we even forget our great grandparents. We don't even think of them. They all have a bit of a role in all of that. So it says, make those du'as. Sometimes through that, God opens doors for you. The story now. Every one of us wishes that if we would have the veils of the material world removed to some extent at least, so we can move beyond this. There's a lot more than just the material world, brothers and sisters. The material world is not even half of it. It's not even 1/1000th of it. It's the lowest, and that's why it's referred to as dunya. It's the lowest form of creation is the dunya. That's the material world. We want to move above that. We like the doors of the unseen to open up on us, even if it's a very minute amount. Okay, how would you like it if you would go to the haram of Sayyidu Shuhada Salamullah Alayh? And when you say As-salamu alayk ya Aba Abdullah, you hear a sound coming, wa alaykum as-salam. Okay. They say that in Iraq, one of the cultures that they can have, alhamdulillah, it's a good culture, Thursday nights, if you've been there, Thursday nights, it gets packed in the haram of Sayyid al-Shuhada. People come from all over. They have buses arranged. They come on a weekly basis. Thursday nights gets packed compared to the rest of the week. All right. They come for that one night and they go, because we have hadith on that. Back in the old days, well, they didn't have all these cars and vehicles. People used to walk. And even today, some people walk. They can't afford it. Which is even more blessing and rewarding if one walks. There was a family that lived in a village a little further away from Karbala. They would have to walk. The parents, this was a very good religious family. The parents taught their children every Thursday night they would walk to the haram of Sayyidu Shuhada. Alright. So this child, as a child, would go with the parents, first, you know, being carried by the parents, and then gradually they walk on their own, they grow, they become teenagers, and then he gets married, and the parents start getting old. One week, when they wanted to go to the haram of Sayyidu Shuhada, now the father has fallen ill, he cannot walk any longer. He's lost that ability, he's handicapped now. Up to last week he could go. Thursday night, we usually, every week, we go to Karbala. But now the father can't walk. The son was like, okay, fi amanillah, I'm going, inshallah. The father said, you're going without me? He said, well, you can't, you know, what am I supposed to do? What can I do? He said, I don't know, I really like to go. He started carrying his father on his back. Walked all that distance, the long distance that they usually walked and they would get tired just walking alone. He carried his father on his back. This time when he went like this to Karbala, carrying his father, when he said, As-salamu alayk ya Aba Abdullah, he heard the response. Okay. Imam al-Husayn spoke to him, he let him hear that. The respect of the parents can have enormous effects on our lives. Enormous effects. Do whatever we can of kindness towards our parents. As I said, keeping within the boundaries, again, we're not going to be committing sins because of that. But do all of that kindness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you spiritual rewards, inshallah. Sallallahu alaykum. يا أهل بيت النبوة وما وضع الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة ومهبط الوحي وخزان العلم ومنتهى الحلم. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. It was in your homes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with guidance and revelation. Upon you, angels descend day in and day out. Sallallahu alayki يا زوجة رسول الله We are commemorating and remembering the beloved lady Khadija Salamullahi alayha, the noble wife of our beloved Prophet, the mother of the lady Fatima al-Zahra, the lady that gave all she had in the way of Allah, the first believing woman in Islam. She gave all of her wealth, everything she had, all the hardships that she took for Islam, for Allah, for the Holy Prophet. The last few years being in an older age, in the Sha'bu Abi Talib, not having proper food, going hungry for days sometimes, not having proper water sometimes. It took a toll on the lady. Eventually, after the Sha'b, after they were freed from the boycott, she fell ill and she passed away. Sallallahu alayki ya zawjat al-rasool. But they narrate and report a certain incident that happens after this. You know, when the lady Khadija salamullahi alayha passed away, the lady Fatima al-Zahra is maybe 8 years old, a little younger maybe even. They record and they've said that the lady Fatima salamullahi alayha turned to her father after seeing that she does not see her mother around, the lady Khadija around. She started to ask, Ya Abata, Aina Ummi, where is my mother? Where is my mother? Where is my mother? Sallallahu alayki ya qurrata ayn ar-rasool. My beloved lady Fatima al-Zahra, the sadness that you had to deal with after your mother passed away. But let's remember another daughter going through a similar experience. Ya Fatima al-Zahra, if your mother passed away, she was respectfully buried. People had respect for her. You did not witness your mother being beaten before you. If you were sad when your mother passed away, they didn't bury your mother at night in the lonely darkness of the night. Sallallahu alayki ya Fatima al-Zahra. When the lady Zainab, even younger, she's 3 or 4 years old. Imagine her sitting in the house, a half burnt door being knocked over on her mother, hearing the call, Ya Fiddatu Khudini. Sallallahu alayk. Ya
قرة عين الرسول وصلى الله عليك يا عقيلة بني هاشم يا زينب صلى الله عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم بالزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها بك يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. Because of the time of the adhan, we'll leave the du'as for inshallah later. Recite a salawat.
Excuse me. Handling it? Are you handling or?
Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Dhul Jalali Wal Ikram Atubu Ilayhi Allahumma حجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا اللهم رب شهر رمضان الذي أنزلت فيه القرآن وافترضت على عبادك فيه الصيام صل على محمد وآل محمد وارزقني حج بيتك الحرام في عامي هذا وفي كل عام اغفر لي تلك الذنوب العظام فإنه لا يغفرها غيره يا رحمن يا علام يا الله I've come to you again on another night in the month of Ramadan if you haven't forgiven me up to this night in the month of Ramadan I beg you and plead to you that you forgive me. Where else do I have to go to, Ya Allah? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. اللهم إني أفتتح الثناء بحمدك وأنت مسدد للصواب بمنك وأيقنت أنك أنت أرحم الراحمين في موضع العفو والرحمة وأشد المعاقبين في موضع المكان والنقمة وأعظم المتجبرين في موضع الكبرياء والعظم اللهم أذنت لي في دعائك ومسألتك فاسمع يا سميع مدحتي وأجب يا رحيم دعوتي وأقل